It's good to be back. And as a pastor, I offer you grace and the peace of God as we gather for worship on this fifth Sunday of Easter here at the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and I'm joined by our worship team, our production engineer, our special musicians, which are all the members of the Mayflower Chancel Choir, and our liturgist today are Jerry Fuller and Deanne McCormick. Your commissioned missionaries have returned safely from Juarez, Mexico, and we welcome them back as well as myself. Where are my missionaries here today? There's Charles. Where's Gail? Gail and Mariana. Where's Mariana? Well, they shall be here, I think. Maybe they were detained for some reason. Maybe they were tired, but I expect them to be here. But assuming they're here, even with just Charles, but we should have two more in our fellowship time, our coffee hour in our Friendship Center following the service. We will have an informal question and answer period that resulted from our trip in Juarez. You may have some curiosity about that. We will share, although there will be a more formal presentation with pictures 2 weeks from today, May 21st. So keep that in mind. Speaking of May 21st, that is our Music Appreciation Sunday. The choir and bell choir have been preparing for that. It's always a special day here at Mayflower. It's a special day for the choir members who will be able from that point on to take the summer off. But I am here to encourage all of you that there are some special treats of music that will be offered through the summer. And so just want to let everybody know that church won't shut down beginning on the 28th of May, okay? We'll be here all summer long. Our theme today is courage. How much courage do you have? That'll be a question that we ponder today, thinking about the first Christian martyr, Stephen, and the lectionary passage that comes from the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 55 and 60, with some background that we will fill in. God bless us now as we worship. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
Our missionaries to Mexico have returned safely, and we have made it through another week of roller coaster weather as warmer temperatures have replaced the cold start to the month of May. For that, we are thankful. We are also thankful to gather as a beloved community seeking inspiration, divine guidance, and mutual support. Help us to find all of that through beautiful music, a thoughtful presentation from the book we love, and the joining of our hearts together around the table of our Lord. Today we consider the story of one of your servants, the first Christian martyr known as Stephen. We admire his courage and faith, even though we will likely never have to give our lives for our faith. Yet we seek to live courageously as faithful witnesses to the love of Christ, which motivates us to give sacrificially, serve with humility, and forgive our enemies. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we treasure each moment when the beloved community gathers, including the regular worship of God. We treasure the weekly opportunity for worship, study, reflection, and fellowship on the day we observe the Sabbath. Give us rest for our bodies and nurture for our souls in all we do. We also treasure the Sunday set aside for the Holy Sacrament of Communion when we respond to the invitation of our Lord. We are thankful for the sacrifice of Christ, who offered and freely gave his very self to the point of death, so that we might live abundantly and courageously with an eye toward eternity as we continue to celebrate the resurrection. This we pray in the name of Christ, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Those of us who went to Mexico this week, and especially Mariana Foster, would like to thank this congregation for the overwhelming and generous response to the $5 a bag offering that went into some of those bags for toys and gifts for the children in an orphanage called Rivers of Mercy. Well, the Rivers of Mercy flowed here because when we requested $5 per bag, in came $850 from you. And what a blessing it was in the orphanage, as you could only imagine the delighted faces of the children who received those gifts as if you would have given them $10,000. So thank you. And in that spirit, we now worship God with a giving of our time, our talents, our resources, and our very selves. Thanks be to God. One overlooked announcement that I didn't make but make now is the fact that we will have an outdoor work day on this Saturday, May the 13th at 9:30 a.m. There's usually about 60 or 70 people that show up for that, and you won't want to miss it. There are always things to do to make our house of worship more beautiful. So those of you who can, we'll look forward to being with you on Saturday. Just a couple of other things. Ruth Posh was able, in my absence, to attend the annual meeting of the Central Association of Congregational Christian Churches, which took place in Horton, Michigan. And just so you know, in my absence, I was elected moderator, and Ruth was elected vice moderator. So we are going to be partners in crime, and we have some ideas about how to liven up things in the Central District, and we'll be talking to you more about that. Let us pray. Eternal God and faithful risen Lord, we do thank you and do not take lightly this weekly opportunity of gathering to worship you because of the love that you have shown to us. And so we gather with love for one another as you have told us to do. And we gather because you have given your Son, Christ, who has loved us with the sacrificial love that led to his death. And with that, Lord, we are granted the courage to live as people in the present with joyful hope, knowing that whatever befall, we shall one day be reunited with those people of God from around the world who have experienced your love. And so may that love be a reality today, even as we mourn and grieve for the continuing and deadly violence that has happened again. And Lord, we don't know how to pray as these things keep happening, but we pray that you would give us the courage to think differently and pray differently for change to be made that begins in our hearts and then is a communal witness to the peace and love of God. May we know in our hearts, Lord, that we can make a difference in the lives of people whose who have been torn apart by violence, people who have been raised in an atmosphere of violence, and through reasonable and good laws by our legislators, and ask again, O Lord, for your forgiveness with our silence and our complicity in doing nothing. With that, Lord, we continue earnestly in our prayers for those around the world who suffer, even as we witness the tent city at the border this week. And so there are so many things in this world that we pray for, but Lord, as we pray around for those around the world, our attention is drawn to those within our midst and within our circle of love and care that need our prayers. And so we pray now for those upon our hearts, many of whom we mention now by first name. And now, Lord, be with us as you always are when we pray together like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's New Testament reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 55 through 60. It is very easy to admire the faith and courage of someone who gave his life for his faith in Christ. It is quite another thing to think about how that kind of courage becomes operative in our own lives, especially in matters of faith. So hear now these words. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he, Stephen, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of the young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, give us all a supernatural pouring out of your Spirit that will give us discernment, understanding, courage, and love. Amen. Some people are born with more of a sense of courage than others. If you're a parent, do you think that's true? Well, I think it was true for me because my oldest son, Bryce, was born with a sense of fearlessness. Nothing scared him. While in many ways a compliant child, at the very earliest of ages, he would climb high into trees, one time falling out 25 feet, landing on his head, and he survived with just a slight concussion. He rode on carnival rides, which went upside down at the age of 3 with his father. and he ventured into the unknown without fear. While certain traits of courage are generally admired, like bravery, fortitude, tenacity, and sheer guts, for people with a more natural sense of caution and who are risk averse, courage can be viewed negatively. Certain traits of courage viewed negatively can be things like adventurousness, rashness, recklessness, and nerve, some of which at times have been traits of my own, with exploits like climbing volcanoes, flying small airplanes, taking epic snowmobile trips, and hiking for several days alone. Psychologists tell us there are 6 different types of courage. And as I share these 6, perhaps we all would put ourselves into a category where we most naturally fall in our senses of courage. First, there is physical courage, which involves the fear, or I should say that a person has a sense of courage despite fear of physical harm. And here's an example. If you saw someone on the street being attacked, a person with physical courage would risk being attacked themselves by rescuing a person who was being attacked. And it would test one's skill of fighting and running. Another type of courage is social courage, which is the courage to expose yourself to social situations where you might be vulnerable to embarrassment, ridicule, or discomfort. Does this make sense to anybody? Perhaps in some sense to all of us. But people who have social anxiety might need a little more of this kind of courage. An example might be going on a first date or a blind date, taking a new leadership role, or giving a public speech. The related fear might include whether or not people will like your personality, having your leadership credentials questioned, or simply freezing up. The next type is moral courage, which is the courage to stand up for your convictions despite the sense that it may end badly for you. This is a type of courage that is often exercised when your morals conflict with mainstream social views. People with moral courage may have an expectation of ridicule or exclusion because of their views, and may stand to lose because of their actions, but simply do things because it is the right thing to do. Often they choose to act out of moral courage due to the strength of their own personal values. An example might include civil disobedience, such as choosing to protest against laws due to moral disagreement. Other examples might be standing up for the oppressed or being a conscientious objector. Next is emotional courage. Emotional courage involves allowing ourselves to feel the full spectrum of human emotions. In some situations, we may try to protect ourselves by appearing aloof, uncaring, or disconnected. People with emotional courage proceed into relationships knowing that they may be emotionally impacted by that relationship in the future. The most obvious example is falling in love with the risk of a broken heart. The most in a group of this size, it would take a long time, I'm sure, to share all the times many of us have experienced a broken heart. You don't want to hear my story or stories. Another example of emotional courage is the reuniting with an estranged parent. And I suppose there might be, without my knowledge, 1 or 2 here or more that I've experienced that fear. One of my best friends, about 20 years ago, met his estranged seven sisters that he was separated from when he was 4 years old, hanging on to the skirt of his next oldest sister when the social services came in and split them all up to go into foster homes. And he was not particularly enthusiastic about the emotional pain of meeting his estranged family. The threat involved is rejection, especially when it comes to estranged parents. When it comes to emotional courage, the risk is to seek therapy. And what do you know? The risk of therapy is also one that might bring up a painful past experience which forces one to feel an unwelcome emotion. And I suppose all of us can identify with a resistance to open oneself up to an unwelcome emotion. Still another type of courage is intellectual courage. Intellectual courage is the willingness to learn and expand horizons. This is one type of courage that, in my opinion, is in decline in our society as we retreat into information bubbles, clinging to one or a type of news channel, or being dependent on sound bites as we have shorter news cycles, witnessing the decline of newspapers, and watching television news that can negatively affect our ability to discern and discriminate. A famous informal experiment happened in the first televised debate, presidential television debate in 1960. Some of us will remember that. And the informal experiment was taken as a poll to those who listened to the debate on the radio, who had quite a different impression and conclusions than those who watched it on television. People with intellectual courage are willing to have their minds changed in the face of facts and debate, despite the vulnerability of having their views undermined by new information, even if that information is discomforting. Examples would be traveling to a new culture like we did this week in Mexico, and you don't have to be 30 seconds across the border to come face to face with a culture that is in so many ways different from ours. Or debating people with different views when you have your views put to the test. Or even reading banned books, exposing yourself to unpopular ideas. Finally, and perhaps most importantly for today, is spiritual courage. Spiritual courage is similar to intellectual courage, but spiritual courage ventures into philosophical questions that are often unanswerable. People who live without spiritual courage are often people who live an unexamined life. They may not choose to think about their own mortality, delve into questions which challenge traditions or the way one was raised, or to develop an ability to listen to and evaluate the spiritual values of others. Someone told me that the most annoying kind of people on the face of the earth were people that wanted to share their Christian faith, but would never want to listen to someone else share their faith. Although we are exploring this concept from the perspective of the Christian scriptures and in the Christian tradition, Christians are not the only ones who have spiritual courage. People can be atheists and agnostics and still have personal courage or spiritual courage. It involves the courage to ask spiritual questions rather than simply having the courage to be religious. Examples include attending a religious event for a religion that is not your own, planning for your own death, or reading books by an atheist. I didn't do that until my son, who became a grad student in theology, said, "Dad, if you don't read books by atheists, you'll never have a complete idea of how the other side thinks." And so he gave me copies of best-selling books by Sam Harris, Richard Dawkins, and Christopher Hitchens. Any of you ever read books by those authors? It can be a discomforting thing to do as one who has Christian faith. In today's lectionary narrative, we have a few verses describing the brutal and violent death of the person who is known as the first Christian martyr. The story needs context, as it is hard to imagine that a speech would provoke such a violent response. Therefore, great care needs to be taken in understanding this narrative, because this has been used to foster anti-Semitism. Stephen had been chosen not as an elder, not as a preacher, and was not one of the 12, but one of 7 who was to attend to administrative detail. He was enlisted to wait tables and to attend to the needs of widows because of a complaint among Gentiles that their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. Thankfully, the 12 apostles responded. While Stephen obviously possessed the spiritual qualities necessary to the task to which he was assigned, he soon became recognized as a charismatic leader and a dynamic public speaker, qualities can get anyone into trouble, including preachers, under the right circumstances. The first 54 verses of this 7th chapter of Acts describe these right circumstances when Stephen was brought before a tribunal and questioned. Now, these were not hooligans. They were not renegades. They were not gangs. They were the spiritual leaders of the day. In a stunning and courageous retort to his opponents, he was accused of blasphemous words against Moses and the law. And then he never stopped saying things against, in their minds, this holy place and the law. And then he claimed that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs of Moses. There are some things we don't know about what might have been going on. We don't know if Stephen was married and had a family, and was left without a head of household and breadwinner, which might have led him to soften his criticism without softening the truth. Perhaps he knew that the die was cast even before he began his speech, but he might have been the victim of his own personality, as we all sometimes are. His courage could have been accompanied with some bravado, as we could be critical of the personal accusations he made against them, as he called them stiff-necked, heartless, and they were like all their ancestors before them. What if somebody said that to you? Well, at the very least, he didn't have a good speechwriter, especially if his life hung in the balance, which it likely did, in fact, certainly did. Regardless, Stephen possessed at least 5 of the 6 types of courage, and he faced death much in the same way Jesus did, with a vision of heaven and an offer of forgiveness to his murderers. His courage should inspire all of us and call all of us to examination. In fact, even though the time and circumstance were vastly different in the church at Corinth than in today's modern observances of communion, which we shall do in just a few minutes, in the first letter to the Corinthian church, written by Paul in chapter 11, Paul encourages believers to examine themselves before sharing in the Lord's Supper. So let's just take a moment and do that. First, Stephen reminds us that the Most High does not dwell in houses made with human hands, but that heaven is God's throne and the earth is God's footstool. In other words, religion is worthless if going to church, even this morning, makes no difference in our lives when we walk back out into the world. Secondly, why most of us will likely never be called upon to give our lives for our faith, what is it that we are most passionate about, and the issues about which we feel the strongest? And once we identify those things, the question can be asked, how are these things related to our faith? And to what extent would we go to defend them? Spiritual courage may not call for an act of martyrdom, but spiritual courage will call us to constantly measure our priorities, take stands and to express our beliefs through action. Thirdly, forgiveness always involves courage. It removes us from the stranglehold of the victim mentality, which could have been easily the case for Stephen. But spiritual courage enabled Stephen and enables us to live a life above the debilitating forces of anger, resentment, and retribution. As we examine ourselves, we are not called to perfection. I suffered under a tradition, a religious tradition, that called for perfection in some sense. And I remember being scared to death to take communion because of that. There are areas for all of us where we can garner more courage. I am inspired by certain heroes, which would include Mahatma Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, Dr. Martin Luther King, and Jeanette Rankin. Has anybody ever heard of Jeanette Rankin? If you have, raise your hand. One person. And that's okay, because most people don't know about Jeanette Rankin, but let me tell you about her and why she inspires me. Not necessarily because I agree with her in everything, but because of her consistency to stand up for what she believed. She was the first woman ever elected to federal office as a representative of Montana to Congress in 1917 on a platform to prevent the U.S. military involvement in World War I. She served one term and was a lifelong pacifist, a woman suffragist, and introduced legislation in Congress that eventually became the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, granting unrestricted voting rights to women nationwide. She served one term and then was elected again in 1940, and you might know why. She was the only representative in Congress to vote against the declaration of war against Japan, and she needed an escort out of town as there were multiple death threats against her. Late in life, she ran again unsuccessfully in the 1960s to oppose the U.S. intervention in the Vietnam War. And if you ever make it to the Capitol, there is a bust of Jeanette Rankin in the U.S. Capitol. Who are your heroes of courage? Courage is never easy, and by definition, it is difficult. If you do anything without fear, then it is not courage. To be courageous, you have to be pushing against fear and uncertainty. Stephen acted courageously in the footsteps of his Lord, who has shown all of us the way. It was history's greatest act of courage to face the cross as Jesus prayed for deliverance, yet accepted his fate, and then forgave his tormentors. As we come near the end of the Easter season, our proclamation is not all about victory, wonder, and rejoicing. Stephen's death is a reminder that in every generation, the stakes are high. Jesus' resurrection did not and does not stop the human race from spilling innocent blood and resisting prophets. Unfortunately, atrocities are part of the Christian legacy, including those inflicted upon people of faith and by people of faith. But true courage, regardless of its temporal outcome, is always connected to a greater good. May it be so as we examine ourselves and then receive freely the forgiveness, grace, and strength which enables us to embrace freedom and hope, which colors our lives and our church in the present. Thanks be to God. Let's eat. You have your communion ritual in the bulletin. I ask you to have it ready as we share together. Let us begin by offering our prayer of confession to God. Forgiving God,
We come to this table knowing that we often fall short of all that you desire for us. Sometimes we fail both as individuals and as a community of faith. We seek your mercy and grace as we ask you for forgiveness and renewal, that we may better follow you. In the name of your Son, amen. Hear now these words of assurance. We have this assurance that no matter how far we wander or how far away we feel from God, we never move outside the boundaries of God's gracious love for us. We are loved, we are forgiven, and we are blessed. We celebrate open communion here at Mayflower Church in the tradition of our beloved teacher, who welcomed all to the supper, even those who betrayed him or ran away in fear. And I forgot to turn my mic. All right. Double check my light here. There you go. Sorry about that, Ken. So, with a great thanksgiving, it is right and a good and joyful thing to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And we'll ask our servers to come forward at this time. We welcome you to this table, whether you are a member of this church, another church, or no church. All you need is faith or a desire for faith. This is the time when we all acknowledge our past failures, sins, and disappointments and present ourselves to God, who offers us love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Remember, God accepts us just where we are and who we are at this very moment in our lives. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus sat at supper with his disciples. He took the bread, blessed it, and broke it. And he said to them, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." Let us share the bread. Together, we'll ask you to hold the elements until all are served. Let us eat and be thankful. After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us share together the cup of salvation. Now let us share together the great thanksgiving. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this memorial of your love and have granted to us the presence of your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask you to strengthen our faith in you and to increase our love toward one another through him, our Redeemer. Amen.
I don't think any one of us would give a witness this morning that we are prepared for anything in life and that we have courage to face it. However, as a pastor, I would share with you that you folks give me courage. We, the people that we love in our lives are the people we would be most ready to defend. And as a pastor, that's kind of the way I feel about you, even though, again, if called for the ultimate sacrifice, I think we all would say, Lord, help us. Having said that, may now the love of God give us the courage to love each other and then go into the world with a witness, knowing that the love, the grace, the peace, and the courage of God goes with us now and forevermore. Amen.
I want to say that Gail and Mariana were overworked this week. They did it on their own accord, but We'll be anxious to hear from them, whether they're able to join us or whether it's just going to be me and Charles. Doesn't matter. But we are going to share some of our experiences in a question and answer time about our time in Juarez, Mexico. What a time it was. In the meantime, enjoy the fellowship of God with the love of the saints. And yes, you are saints. Go in peace. Amen. David.